This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gonsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. And you can find me in the Spotify Green Room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. Since I couldn't record yesterday because my laptop hates me, I will be discussing the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game and the uniforms and some things that Rob Manfred said about possible rule changes. We might be getting rid of some things that we don't like and not other things. We'll find out how that goes and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So it seems everyone had fun out in Colorado. The Home Run Derby, it was fun. I would say it was fun. I'm not sure how I liked that format, though, where the guys go against each other and it's timed. And, you know, because Salvador Perez got screwed, he hit more home runs than most of the other guys, but because he was up against Pete Alonso, he didn't make it out of the first round. So that kind of sucks for him. You know, the Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto swing-off was fun. Trey Mancini making it to the finals was great, considering what he's coming back from. I'm assuming he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. You had Joey Gallo disappointing everyone. I was expecting him to hit way more home runs than he did. I was also kind of disappointed that we didn't see a 600-foot home run. Ohtani hit one 513, I think they said. Who hit one 520? Someone hit it 520. Now I can't remember which guy it was. But I was slightly disappointed. I was hoping balls would be flying out of Coors Field. That didn't happen. But, you know, there were some majestic home runs there. And therein lies the other problem. ESPN's coverage of the Home Run Derby isn't great. The split screen, the not following the ball the right way with the camera, so you're missing some of the home runs. You're barely seeing them. You know, they're not panned out enough, so you don't see, I don't know, I feel like there should be a wider angle during the Home Run Derby so you can see the true trajectory of the balls. It just doesn't work. They need to change that for next year. I was actually watching the StatCast version on ESPN2. I didn't watch the ESPN regular version, but it still, you know, was rife with problems. And again, they need to do something and fix it for next year. There's too much stuff on the screen and not enough focus on the actual home runs, if that makes sense. As for everything else that happened during the Home Run Derby, I figured Shohei Ohtani wouldn't win it. I was hoping someone other than Pete Alonso would, just because whatever. But he put on quite a show, and he is wacky. I didn't realize how wacky he was, because I don't really pay attention to the Mets, so I don't really know. I don't see his behavior on a daily basis, but yeah, he's he kind of reminds me of Nick Swisher in a way. And it seems like the kind of guy that you have to have the right personality to mesh with. I feel like someone like that would drive me crazy because I couldn't handle that kind of chaos, if that makes sense. I always said that about Nick Swisher. You know, I feel like his wife is a saint and she definitely has to have the right personality, because in that way, when it comes to friendships, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to teammates. You know, a lot of times when you see teammates who are close, they're opposites. They're guys that you don't expect to be friends. And I feel like that would be the case with someone like Pete Alonso and another teammate. I couldn't handle that kind of, not behavior, because his behavior is fine. I couldn't handle that kind of personality. That's what I'm looking for. I know I don't seem that low-key on the show, and I tend to get a little wacky on here. But when I'm hanging out with people, I'm not like that. So, yeah, it seems like it would be too much of a personality for me. But good for him. He won. If you didn't see, he won, or after he won, he was presented with a very gaudy necklace. And it had, you know, home run derby winner, and you could spin that. And it was just, it looked like it could kill someone if it hit them in the head. Oh, and apparently Pete Alonso was partying in a Colorado bar after he won the home run derby while he was wearing that gaudy necklace and the owners were trying to throw him out. I guess they didn't realize who he was. I find that amusing. A lot of baseball players, you wouldn't know who they are without hats on. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's hilarious. We were in Disney in 1991. We were at Typhoon Lagoon as a family. My brother comes running up to us, asks my dad if he has a paper and pen. My dad says, why? He goes, because Jack Clark is here with his family. And my dad's like, only you would notice a baseball player walking around in swimming trunks, not in his uniform, not wearing a hat, and knowing it's Jack Clark. So later on in the day, my brother and I are in the Lazy River, and he's in his inner tube, I'm in my inner tube, and all of a sudden, this woman starts waving at my brother from a bridge. And I'm like, who the hell is that? And he goes, it's Jack Clark's wife. Because apparently my brother was the only person who recognized him at the water park. And I always found that amusing. So for the most part, if you see a baseball player without their hat, there's a lot of times you don't recognize these guys. There are guys that are on the Yankees that I wouldn't even be able to tell who they are without a hat on. And I watch them all the time. So it's just funny that the owners were like, yeah, get out. We've had enough. Get out. I don't care who you are. In a moment, we'll discuss the All-Star Game, which was essentially the AL East beating the NL overall, because the AL East put on a little bit of a show, and Aaron Judge actually helped out. But first, we're all trying to get in shape and eat right. Freshly can help. Their delicious meals are designed by nutritionists and cooked by chefs, making it easier to eat better. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking required. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage-baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. That sounds really good. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick up from that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutrition-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. Again, that's freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. So let's talk about the All-Star Game, which the AL won again. I think it's their eighth in a row. And I saw a stat earlier that since 1988, I believe the AL is 26-5 or 25-6. I want to double check that, but that is amazing. I mean, I knew the American League had been dominating a bit. Hold on, I'm looking on my phone. 26-6. I knew I was close. This is from Rainey from, what was that podcast? Was he on the Up and In podcast? That was something else. I'm confusing my old school podcast. Anyway, Rainey, formerly of Baseball Prospectus, and, you know, he's a big following on Twitter. Since 1988, six AL teams, the Orioles, Tigers, Royals, Angels, Rangers, and Astros, including their time in the National League, have not gone 26-6 at any point in a single season. I find that hard to believe for the Astros. And even the Angels, when they were good in good and annoying in the 2000s, that's kind of shocking. So yeah, the AL, you know, they seem to like to beat up on the National League. Not that it was a beatdown, it was 5-2, but I don't know. I was also disappointed last night. I mean, I get it. It's the All-Star game and, you know, these are your star players. But, you know, a lot of guys didn't go. That's a whole other issue we'll talk about later because some people were upset that a lot of guys opted out of going. All three Yankees that were elected to go showed up. Cole and Chapman were not used last night. I'm glad about that, actually. Aaron Judge started in right field, batted fourth. As I said, he contributed to the scoring. He walked and then scored a run on a very heads-up play from third. He actually was driven in as a runner in scoring position, which never usually happens when he's playing for his own team, so that must have been a foreign feeling for him. I'm kidding. Anyway, what else about the All-Star game? Oh, the uniforms. Big bone of contention for most people. And yeah, they weren't great, but can I say, for some reason, seeing Aaron Judge in that all-Navy uniform makes me want the Yankees to wear all-Navy uniforms. Or maybe not all-Navy, maybe just the top Navy, like they do during spring training. But I think if they wore all-Navy with pinstripes for a special day, I think that could be really, really cool, and I think the Yankees should look into it. But I also think the Yankees should look into adding an alternate road uniform where the top is navy and it says New York across it like the road uniforms do, and they can still wear the gray pants. I think that would look so cool. Let me know if you feel the same way via Twitter. I'm interested to hear people's opinions. I believe I actually asked people about this very thing a couple of months ago, but the All-Star uniform put the idea back into my head. I don't know if I mind them wearing All-Star uniforms, because what's the point of having an All-Star uniform if you're not going to wear them other than during the home run derby and during your press stuff the day before? But this year's uniforms, they weren't that great. I believe I said a couple of weeks ago that Susan Waldman described the NL uniforms as looking like ice cream man uniforms because of the all white and just the way the certain like lettering was. And, you know, it was kind of odd because you had the logo for the team over AL, NL, and it just didn't work. I don't know. It looked like someone messed it up when they were doing the graphic designs for the uniforms. I think if this is going to become a thing, if this is going to become a tradition where they wear the All-Star uniforms during the game, they should make them look better, like they have in the past. It just seems funny to me that the first time they decide to wear uniforms during the game, they're not great. But that's MLB for you. Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit the snot out of a ball, and he was named AL MVP for the All-Star game, or AL. Oh, he was the All-Star MVP. I think the AL MVP will probably be Shohei Ohtani. And the only way that that doesn't happen is if he falls off a cliff in the second half. But I don't see that happening. He's just unbelievable. I had mentioned it the other day how he has 33 home runs already. And he passed Matsui for most home runs by a Japanese player. And Matsui, it took him all season to hit 32. So, yeah, Shohei Ohtani is not of this planet. And yeah, I think he's your shoe-in for AL MVP. What else happened during the All-Star game? Oh, Liam Hendricks. I have to say, I like that they have the guys mic'd up. I like that they allow them to have their phones out and they can do certain things during the All-Star game, that they allow them to have fun because we know that they don't allow them to have fun during actual games. Because, I mean, you do have to be serious during actual games because, you know, the All-Star game doesn't count anymore. That's another thing I'm happy about. I was enjoying watching the guys have fun. I liked having the guys mic'd up. It was funny when Freddie Freeman was mic'd up because he didn't want Aaron Judge to make it to first base because, you know, Freddie Freeman is a big dude and Aaron Judge makes everyone look small. And he makes Freddie Freeman look small. And he did it last night. I liked listening to Fernando Tatis Jr. speaking on the mic, and then Liam Hendricks cursing while he's trying to close out the game. Maybe he forgot the mic was on, or maybe he just didn't care. At that point, it was after 11 o'clock. I'm one of those people, if it's after 11 o'clock, I think you should be able to curse on regular TV. I don't see the big deal. It's not like kids don't hear their parents curse. I heard my parents cursing growing up, and I didn't start cursing until I was an adult. So people are just too worried about that. And it was just really funny. The reactions. I have to say, most of the reactions I saw on Twitter were pro mics and wanting to hear guys curse on the air. And because it makes the broadcasters so uncomfortable because they have to kind of work around the fact that, you know, Fox didn't have a delay, apparently, so they couldn't really bleep him out. So I find that highly amusing. And again, just a lot of fun. So the AL wins 5-2. I know that there were some Red Sox involved in, I think, Bogarts and Devers, was it, right? Let me double check. Yeah, Bogarts was 2-for-2. No, 2-for-3. My eyes are... Devers was 1-for-2. Marcus Semien was 1-for-2. Teoscar Hernandez was 1-for-2. And then some of the substitutions, let's see. Joey Wendell got a hit. Mike Zunino hit the crap out of a ball. And Garcia got a hit. So let's see. It's funny. The American League was 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They left 6 on base. The NL, 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. So they didn't even really have that much of a chance to score. They left 8 on base. Real Muto hit that home run in the 5th inning. Ozzie Albies hit a double. Funny, there were a bunch of substitutions for them. But they got 8 hits overall, and the AL got 9 hits. Again, disappointing. I was hoping to see more balls flying out of Coors Field. In a moment, we'll discuss Rob Manfred discussing rule changes, then walking one of them back, because of course he did. But first, it's time for me to talk about Built Bar, and how Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and how you have many flavors to choose from, and how my favorite flavor is mint brownie. Coconut is great. Salted caramel is great. Double chocolate also. Mwah. Fantastic. My mom liked double chocolate. She likes mint brownie. She likes the coconut. Cookies and cream, German chocolate, strawberry, raspberry, orange. They're all low in calories, high in protein, low in sugar, high in taste. If you go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. And you can get a mixed box where you try 2 of each flavor. So you can try everything out, figure out what you like the best. And then you can do what I do and just order a ton of boxes of your favorite flavor. One more time, go to built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. So Rob Manfred had some things to say ahead of the All-Star game, obviously, because he's the commissioner of baseball and he always has lots of things to say. But there were certain highlights, such as him mentioning that the 7-inning doubleheader rule might be changed and everything might be going back to 9 innings next season. He also seemed to suggest that maybe the runner on second rule would also go away. But then he walked that back. So I'm slightly upset about that because I would love for that rule to go away. He also mentioned that it's possible that there could be a limit on shifts, and that is causing a big brouhaha amongst baseball Twitter and baseball writers and everyone else who watches baseball. There's a part of me that can't stand the shifts. I feel like it's done way too much. But I also feel we've gotten to the point where a hitter knows that he's going to be shifted upon, so learn how to hit the ball the other way. Even if you have to do a push bunt, practice that stuff. Because if everyone is on one side of the field and you hit it to the other, you could get a double. I saw it happen. Jason Giambi accidentally hit a double when he was being shifted against. This happened at the old stadium, obviously, because it was Jason Giambi playing. It was a long time ago. But I want to say it was in 2005 or 2006. He lucked into a double. Jason Giambi. Do you remember Jason Giambi running? He looked like a cartoon character because his legs moved, but his body didn't really move. Anyway, not as bad as Posada with a piano strapped to his back and a full diaper. But, you know, Giambi was pretty amusing running around the bases. But he made it into second because he hit the ball down the left field line. And no one was there. The left fielder had to run all the way over to get it. So I don't understand why these guys can't adapt to the shifting thing, because it's been happening for years. You know, one team started doing it all the time. I believe it was the Rays, right? When Joe Maddon was their manager. And now everyone does it. So if you're the type of player who comes up to bat and sees everyone on the left side of the infield, or the right side, wait, no, the right side of the infield, because most of the time you see the shift going for left-handed batters. You occasionally see them with righties, but it's mostly lefties. If you see everyone on the right side of the field, try and hit it to the left side. Again, just stick your bat out. Practice this. I don't know why these guys don't practice that. Or practice bunting. I know you don't want to see someone like, trying to think of a power left-handed hitter, because the Yankees don't really have one. But you don't want to see guys like that coming up and constantly bunting. But every once in a while, it would be hilarious to see some guy bunt and bunt for maybe a double. I just really wish that Manfred didn't run back that statement, or walk back. That's the right phrase, walk back. You don't run back a statement, you walk it back. Anyway, I really wish that he hadn't walked back the statement about the runner on second in extras. As I've said many times, I can't stand that rule. If they made it where it started in the 12th inning, I wouldn't mind it as much. But the fact that they're starting it immediately in extra innings is just silly to me. There aren't that many extra inning games that go past 12. Although there was one before the All-Star break with the rule that lasted until, I think, the 13th inning, because teams kept scoring with the runner on second. And then one team just scored like 4 runs in the bottom of the inning and won the game. Or not the bottom, the top of the inning. And then the other team didn't score. But I don't know. I don't like it starting in the 10th. It just doesn't feel like real baseball to me. I also love that everyone calls it the Manfred Mann rule. And I wish I had come up with that, because it's hilarious. One more thing before I go. Someone posed a question on Twitter, or posed an idea. He said, name 10 players from your favorite team from when you were 10 years old. And I was seeing so many people leaving, you know, so many Yankee fans naming teams like the 1999 team or teams from the early 2000s. I saw someone put a tweet up. I believe it was the 2009 team. I wanted to cry. And then there I was naming the 1984 team. Yes, I turned 10 the summer of 1984, and these were the 10 players I chose. And even funnier, this is the order in which I chose them. Omar Moreno, Toby Hara, Don Mattingly, Dave Winfield, Ron Guidry, Willie Randolph, I almost said Willie Pinella, Lou Pinella, Joe Cowley, Don Baylor, Roy Smalley. And someone actually tweeted me back and said, Toby Hara was on the Yankees? And I said, yes, 1984, only time he was on the Yankees. And for some reason, that stuck in my brain. So yeah, I rattled off 10 players from the 1984 roster, and yet I walk into a room and I don't know why I walked into a room. This is how my brain works. So for fun, if you want to, and you listen to this podcast, either on the Locked On Yankees account or at my Stay Scots account, do the same. List off 10 players from the Yankees the year you turn 10. I'm interested to see all your ages. Coming up on tomorrow's show, a preview of the 4-game series against the Red Sox. I hate to say that this is a big series, but it is a big series because the Yankees are so far winless against the Red Sox, and they need to do at least 3 out of 4. They need to win 3 out of 4. In order for this to be successful. Even a split will not be successful. So they need to get things going starting tomorrow. I'll have everything you need to know. Hopefully I'll have all the information by the time I record. And we'll preview the series and talk about what the Yankees have done so far and what we need to see from them in the second half. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing. If you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.